Hi, this is Shantae with Soul Care U, and you're listening to Soul Time, a podcast that focuses on preserving folk wisdom and folk healing in all of its many expressions. We are so happy to welcome back a previous guest, Devi DeVita with DeVita Designs.
Hi, kin, family. Happy Red Muluk Day to all. Thank you for having me, Shantae.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for coming back and just having another discussion. But this time we're going to focus a little bit different. So DeVita is our absolute authority on natural time here at Soul Care U. And if you haven't listened to our previous podcast, An Introduction to Galactic Consciousness, please go and listen to that rich conversation. It gives just some really basic but high voltage information on what I would say disconnecting from the matrix and connecting in to natural time as a way of living. So you can just access that through soulcareu.com and then just click on the podcast tab. So today, though, DeVita is going to be talking about another form of folk healing. And it's a form of folk healing that we may not consider folk healing, but I certainly do. It is an ancient, ancient practice. And it is the practice and art of weaving. And weaving natural fibers and fabrics to create divine wear. So I'm excited to get into this conversation about clothes, about what we put on our bodies, and all that is involved in that. So let's start with, tell us what it means when someone says, oh yes, this is natural fabric, or these are natural clothes. What does that mean?
What it means on a basic level, Shantae, and again, as I consider myself a natural fashion artist or a natural eco-fashion artist. I'm making my own genre here.
Yes.
We're talking natural in terms of just what it means, just on a basic level, nature as it relates fabrics that are born in their natural state or deriving from plants, plant fibers. So those natural plant fibers, those weaves that we find, you're going to first find things like cotton, which is naturally grown. You can find it in fields open today. Linen, which is from flax. And again, the same flax in which we intake to eat, the same flax in which we extract for oils in our bodies. Again, you'll find that these natural fibers are you're able to use them on a multi-level and have multi-uses for the body, and that's how you know that they're natural. You have denim, indigo, which is, again, a cotton, but again, a process in which the particular dye supports the body on all its levels. Silk, hemp, again, this is a plant, the same hemp plant that supports the body that's medically is showing major breakthroughs in terms of body healing. And when you ingest it, hemp coming again from marijuana and other derivatives, and wool, cashmere, jute, and more. So there is a whole family of these plant, again, natural-based, fiber-based, organic, found in nature, just plants. So that's the origin of fabrics. And then you have industrial, man-made, unnatural, you know, in that way, not coming from a natural state, and which does not support the body. Again, in the opposite way, it adversely affects the body. And that's why I'm so very passionate about supporting people, because these things that they really keep close to their body, much of the active wear, surprisingly, is polyester and not really natural fabrics. And that's very important, because you're talking about sweating, you're talking about something very close to the most major organ on your body, which is your skin. So again, we're talking about activation, we're talking about picking up from the last podcast about, you know, again, these divine forces within you if you will, galactic energies, higher forms within you, and how to express them in an external way, how to give them form. So taking the immaterial, the unseen aspect of everything, and how do we craft that and bring it to the tangible material realm, all the way down to our sacred bodies, Shante. So that's what it really is. The indigenous, as I study and I do my research on my industry and my craft, fashion and cloth were always regarded as sacred and worthy for sacred deities and sacred beings. So this have always been an aspect to indigenous weaving, even the making of the fabric and the fibers. They've always had a relationship with the Devic kingdom, where they are, and that word comes from, you know, Deva, Devic, that particular family. It's called the plant kingdom. So the human is only one kingdom. You know, you have mineral kingdom, you have unseen forces that interact just like animals. They have their own kingdom, and we are all interacting with these different beings. So a plant is a being, it's a fiber, and it's really about supporting the human body in an expansion of itself. So the plant fibers are seeking an expansion as well, just like the human. The plant fibers have an opportunity to evolve and expand as well. And they do that by joining the humans through whatever form we want to ingest them, through food, through oils. And I would like to introduce how we can do that through fashion, and how we should be doing that, because the most active way, again, is your dominant organ, your skin. And you really need to pay attention to that, because this is really our hardware, our software. This is really, we are the new technology. We are the ones that we have been waiting for, as the Hopi say. And that's what this line is about. That's what this artistry is about for me, Shante.
Thank you. So what I'm hearing then is natural fabrics, or when someone says, oh yes, I wear all natural clothing, they're talking about non-man-made. Basically, they are coming from the plants. They're coming from the fibers of the plant. And that, to me, you know, of course we think about cotton and how cotton makes linen. But when we think about our cotton makes the 100% cotton, but then we think of linen and we think of flax, and we think of hemp, it's fascinating to me to think of a plant and how the fibers of that plant can be transferred and created into thread, and that thread is woven together to create larger pieces, and thus we have our clothes.
Yes, and I also like to say, Shante, in reference to, I don't want to leave the animal kingdom out, because we get a lot of support in terms of our wool and those fibers too. So those are part of our natural. I didn't mean to just emphasize just the plants, but we're also supported by animal fur, you know, and fibers, I'm sorry, the animal fibers. And if we go back to the indigenous way, that's done in a non-harmful way. So I like to have that dialogue too about, you know, what supportive ways both the mineral being our stones and crystals, how our vegetable kingdom, the plants, as well as our animal kingdom, as well with fibers that support our body. Those are all category of natural wear.
Yes. So tell me, because I know you mentioned to me about, and this has been several moons ago, you talked to me about how natural fibers respond differently to our skin.
Oh, yes.
And sweating. So just kind of talk a little bit about that, just to get a further understanding of just the physical positives that come from wearing natural fibers versus some of the more manufactured, man-made materials.
Absolutely. What you get the benefit of from a plant, a fiber, it's alive. It is alive even after it is cut and manufactured. Its properties, its living properties, are still alive. And so it enhances the body by just putting it on for the wear. So when you're talking about these natural plants like cotton and hemp particularly, which I'm really, really excited about, I'll share later about being in the market and being able to get the hemp fabric, because you're talking about a plant fiber that is living, a living medicinal plant, that role is to be a healer to the body, who whole existence, purpose of existence as a plant was to bring aid to the human wearer, okay? Or to the human in any way informed to ingest it. And that plant, again, is represented by the goddess Shasat, an indigenous Kemet Egyptian, because that plant particularly was what the healing woman used in her healing practice as being the healer, the shamaness, to do multi-purposes for. But particularly when it activates with the body, it does the exact same thing the healing property does it does in any other part of the body, as if you would ingest it, as if you would put it in a form of an oil. So what we're talking about are medicinal wear, or at least a wear that supports the body because it has medicinal and healing in the live plant fibers, the live wool of the sheep. And, you know, again, you're taking in this and it supports the body because you're able to naturally be a conductor. Your body can breathe. What you are, your system, it's constantly doing an exchange when you inhale and exhale. So in these change and these molecules that you have, with you want that to be done in a way that's harmonious through something that's natural. When you do that with an unnatural something that is not you, then all types of toxins, you don't, just alone not being allowed to sweat, okay? Not your body being permitted to sweat. You can just do the research on your own and hear about the problems that you can get from just not being able to properly excrete, you know, the body that you need. And that's, in fact, what happens, because your body is naturally supposed to, when you hit the sun, you're supposed to sweat. And so if you got wear that supports that, then you don't have an issue with odor. You don't have an issue with your skin having eczema, or because it cannot breathe, or psoriasis. You have these things that block the body from being a natural transducer, a natural alliance with the elements, the sun, the rain. You know, you have to be in constant, your body has to be constantly, and because this organic itself, it needs to be in touch with an organic base things, because that's what will most support it. So that's what you're talking about. You're talking about being most supported on your journey here as an earth being, and collecting everything that does that, including most specifically your body, because you are the church, you are the temple, you are the house, if you will, of this great soul, the divine being that many of us are that's seeking. We house within this very body. So we're at an age now where we have now come to embrace our human form and lift it up, if you will. And that's what this wear is about. It's about embracing Solomon's temple. The word breaks down to the soul of Mon. And it's talking about you as a divine being. And so when you read these scriptures that talk about the symbolic soul of Mon, Solomon, it's talking about your divine temple, not a church as an edifice or a building. It is talking about you. And when you realize that you're the deity or the divine being that where it's created for, then we can go back and understand what the indigenous did in regard to weaving their fabrics, listening to sacred music, or themselves mantranizing while they're making these weavings. So these were priests, divine beings, who were given the task as artisans in these ancient times in indigenous wear. So you had sacred symbols, you had sacred fabrics. This was not just clothes in terms of how we view things today. As you know, an example of the kimono in indigenous, the sheep, in our East today, the kimono is still sacred. You can't touch that. You can't just go. You don't see people just put that on. You know, you ask to, you know, speak to that practice of how it's being bastardized. But it's primarily been able to do that because people within that culture honor their wear. So, like, again, you don't see the kimono being disrespected like that because those individuals within that culture have a reverence for their wear. So that's what I do on a daily basis. For me, I know that I am the solution. I'm the person that's responsible for bringing that focus back for me, for my clan, for my family, and hopefully my community. And globally, everyone gets to see the sacredness embracing your own indigenousness. You know, yes. We're all indigenous beings to the planet, but in following that, there's a way in which you move. There's a way in which you wear things. It's, you just don't put it on for the purpose of just, you know, put it on. It has a meaning down to the fibers and the fabric, why you have on what you have on a particular day, down to the individual details and the symbols and colors within that garment. So that's what it's about. It's about, as we elevate and raise our consciousness, so should our wear and what we put on our bodies, not just what we ingest, but also mm-hmm. what we put on our bodies as well, because it's about the complete wholeness of us as a being, not just yes. one aspect. Oh, the internal, great, you're eating all the great things. I'm glad to know that we're in an age where people are realizing the value of that. But do you also know the same plants that you ingest can also support you on an external level on your body?
Yes.
So bringing back that sacred remembrance, Shante.
Yes, that's it. It's a sacred remembrance. And you know, I'll share an experience I had with one of your skirts that you made for me. And I absolutely love this denim skirt that you created for me. But I was cooking in it, and a whole half a cup of oil,
whoa,
cooking oil, spilled on the skirt. And I was like, oh no, because I've had so many experiences sure. in the past of oil getting on my clothes and it never coming out. Like, it would just have to go straight in the trash.
Right.
And the first thing I thought of, I was like, oh wait, this is all natural fabric. That mm-hmm. means that this is going to come out because this is like skin. This yep. is, and you know, I immediately, you know, took off the skirt and I did a little research on how to draw the oil. I put some powder or some arrowroot, powder and some cornstarch. Yes, and it just drew that out, and then I just began to wash it with water and yeah. some of my natural soap, and all the oil stains came out.
Yes.
It completely came
organic,
out.
Organic.
Yes, and I was like, okay, I have shirts that I now just kind of wear as work shirts because that I thought, oh, these must be cotton. They're nice and soft. The oil that I've spilt on them have never come out.
Yes.
And now that was a big shift in my brain
yes.
to understand that, okay, that means the oil in my skin, that is that the natural oil in my skin when I'm sweating, when I'm walking, when I'm moving around, when yes. I'm, as a woman, just shifting in my hormones from one day to the next, the clothes that I'm wearing that you have provided is providing something so much more.
Yes.
And that just that visual for me was then that experience just shifted so much in my brain. It was like a click in my brain. And so that was just something I wanted to share because it was really, really cool that I never equated, why is this oil not coming out of my clothes? Why, you know, why am I sweating and these stains are getting on my shirt under the arms yeah, and yeah. they don't come out? It's because I wasn't wearing natural fibers. Yeah. I was wearing something man-made that was manufactured.
See, when you do handmade and when it shifted to the industrial age and you no longer had the artisans and Paris and Paris and, you know, going all the way back, you know, with the fashion houses, when it left the houses, the fashion houses, and it just became industrialized, the sacredness was gone. I think Paris mm-hmm. was the last of what you would see on the fashion houses when things were done haute couture. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of it kind of translated when you would see porte-à-porte ready-to-wear first come out of France when people started to travel. And now they were able to bring back these one-of-a-kind, sacred, where it was so expensive. Now it was affordable to, you know, some other people, you know, and it expanded. So what you have something that was sacred now becoming industrialized, you lost that, you know, you mm-hmm. lose the quality of fabric. And when you lose the hands-on and it becomes machinery, and for this country, you don't have anything that is done handmade. I think that skill now has been transferred over to the industrial prison system. The last time I left, that's where most of manufacturing was done in this country. A lot of people don't even know that, mm. that it's done there. I mean, wow, you would be surprised. I'm not going to say that on this podcast, but do your research. And what you have to know is that a lot of the stuff is being imported from other countries, and you want to be aware of the fair trade and how people are being treated to get your product here, you know, just like thing that's coming from somewhere else. And you kind of lose that quality of all the way down, like you said. Even I try to encourage people to have at least 80% of it natural. 20% you can get away with. I would like to see 80 to 90% of people have this, because when you're putting something on your body, you don't do it to your babies. When you get the onesies in the stores, for the most part, even your most poor quality brands of the onesies for the babies, that is, the newborns, you're going to see a 80%, 90% cotton, because no one wants that liability of a newborn not having, you know, a proper support on their body, on their first thing that they wear. So I attribute, if you, what you give a child and put on a child, that soft blanket that that child gets that's wrapped up, that you give, or the person, if it's a home, I trust that if it's a home baby, a baby that's born at home, you someone's made a quilt for it, indigenous way. Someone's prepared something soft on that baby. So this is what we're talking about. When you leave natural fibers, you're talking coarse, hard on your skin. And quite frankly, that makes a difference in your character, how you show up in life, you know, influencing your personality, just like you would, again, if you ingested bad food or food that was not healthy for you. When you just haphazardly put these things on your body without looking in the tag and saying, okay, where did this come from, first of all, and how much, what's in this fabric? What is this I'm putting on my body? Then we're talking ascension and elevation. When we can get people to eco, you know, think about themselves as a sacred being, and what am I putting on my form? How much is, you know, of this is a natural organic something? Because if not, quite frankly, you're going to be challenged within your day. Shante, it's a reason why when you put those things on, you can get in your space and you're activated, you're enhanced in a way that you're locking, literally lock your body down and not allow it to perform at its best. Neurons and all of which is going on within your body, because you're a living, activating being that have brought genes and information to life. Okay, you're the true virtual reality of this time. You're the silica. You are the what they're calling that realm, the fourth dimension. You are the active being that you're. It's not out there. You're it. You're the actual being that's going to play out whatever deity you have in mind of coming back to save you. And if you want to do that in polyester and you think you can, good luck. Because fabric don't lie. And that's what it is about the plant. It doesn't lie. And when you get in terms of construction and working with it, it's most beautiful to do that with. It's very difficult to work with polyester because, again, it's not a truth. You know, so there's a lot of metaphor. There's a lot of, you know, knowledge, because it's an art, again, an artesian, something that has been taken to be in an industrialized way. And, okay, then there's consequences to that, and there's karma and, you know, all that goes with that. If you wear that type of clothing, there's an outcome you're going to get. And so, like, you can share stories about how that supports you. There are a lot of people. That's why you don't see sacred robes and those type of things, but with quality fabric. Now, I don't know what they're doing now with them being manufactured and industrialized, but sacred wear, even with priests, these were done by temple people. This were done by priests and, if, you know, at best, apprenticed. You were just, laymen could just not come up and make clothes back in the day.
Yeah.
Time, and even as early as, again, in the times of Paris and France and Italy, who are today as legends of fashion, and they just they really just harvest and house for us the knowledge from ancient Greek and Kemet in Egypt, and from our indigenous cultures, even the cultures that are here with the pattern and the weavings that you see in Mexico, that the indigenous of the She, the Hopi, and the Aztec, the Maya, you'll see these patterns, you'll see these, you'll feel these fabrics, and you'll know this is the real deal. This is very different than what you can go and get in you know, again, some of these stores that you're getting, and you're going to be affected by it. These tumors, cancers, diseases, they are now, and go and Google it, they are now aligning it with clothing. You know, the type of bra you have on, what is it made of, the type of underwear, you know, Shantae, looking back in history, lingerie, petticoats were found to be garments that were developed naturally with fine, lightweight linens, but they were produced by craftsmen and artists.
Yes.
You can't go get a petticoat today even at your local store. And that's a sacred wear. Lingerie is a sacred wear. And so when you have a time that you transition in where clothing wear is no longer sacred, you get a very different type of culture that consumes their wear. And therefore, again, you are affected differently by it. So in this time of transition, in this time of awakening, where we're more conscious about what we put on our bodies, what we even are consuming galactic language. I mean, you got Star Wars at the movies now, and people are elated about that. But on an undernote or hitting level, many of them don't know why. They don't know why this entertainment of a battle of a dark and light and the Star Wars or just even anything about outer space interests them. But, you know, it is a reason. It's a background, a fourth, fifth dimensional reason, a higher level attraction that you have for this this knowledge or attraction to the knowledge or information about being a galactic being. Mm-hmm. And we should explore that. We should start exploring why these archetypes appeal to us dressed up in these things. We do. Many of us do behind closed doors. We dress up or many of us just reserve that for holiday time, Halloween and those type of things. But these are sacred ceremonies from so-called pagan, which comes from the word people, that these pagan people kept from the traditions of ancient times that came with us today. We call them holy. We still keep them in ceremonial way. I just want to bring them to the everyday wear.
Mm-hmm.
These sacred wear that people use to make salat, to do their different prayer in, is not to be disrespectful to that. It's to say that every moment is a prayerful moment. Every moment is sacred. Every moment. We're in a time where let's make salat all day, you know,
mm-hmm.
in terms of that vibration. And you can. You can make salat, take off your robe of that type of robe, and come into a Devita Design robe of light where it would still allow you to work at wherever form of work that you are engaged in.
Yes.
And so that's what my wear is about, is taking the sacred and the mundane to everyday. Why? Because on an everyday level, you are sacred. Everyday level, you're one of a kind. And you need something to remind you of that. And what better way to do that through your wear that is both sacred for your body and allows you to harmonize and stay in a resonance, as well as supportive in terms of aesthetically beautiful and functional for you.
Yes. So what I love, ooh, that was just so good. So what I love, there's two things that I wanted to bring out. One thing that you said that just, it's resonating. It was when you put on natural wear, on natural fabrics, you're putting on truth because it's coming from truth. It's coming from nature.
Yes.
And I absolutely love that. When you're wearing natural fabric, when you're wearing natural clothing, you're putting on truth. That in itself is just deep. And just, you know, anyone listening, just resonate on that for the day, and you will be trying to figure out what can you do differently. The other thing, because this podcast is all about folk medicine and folk healing and preserving, we know that folk medicine and folk healing comes from, it is passed down.
Yes.
And so in a not too lengthy way, what and who influenced you in this artistry, in this craft? Because this is folk healing.
Oh, wow. I have to give honor always to my line, my lineage, my where I get it from. And I'm welling up just thinking about it, because there's my granny as one, the first focal point. And she says, we's Blackfoot. That's what she says while she's sewing at her machine. And I have that Singer machine on my site, DaVitaDesigns.com. And that's where it started. She was my caretaker. My mother and my parents were 15 when they had me. And to complete school and go on to finish school, my grandmothers became my caretakers. Both my maternal and my paternal grandmothers were my caretakers. So being at home with my grandmother, who had a home business where she sewed, she would tell me the difference between natural and unnatural fabrics, and she would use indigenous language like, "This is a lie." Yeah. Colleen, Esther, you don't want to have anything to do with those twins. And so she would give it to me in that folk way. And again, most of the time it was me being silent and just receiving it. So for her, it would be my granny. And she, again, allowed me to view her sitting in a very, just a natural way. And she would tell me where that came from. And I would say, "Granny, what is Blackfoot? I'm looking on the back of my foot, under my foot." And she would never give direct answers. She'd just say, "You know, this is how we do our hair. You don't put that stuff in your hair. We take this oil and you wet your hair, and this is how we do." And so that's how I got it. I got it from my mother's, my maternal line. And I'm so grateful because I didn't know what I got. You know, I went down other indigenous paths, which I'm grateful for all of the paths that developed me. But it was that indigenous path of weaving, her showing me how to do hand stitching, her showing me how to do simple things like putting a button on something and how it changes the whole empowerment, how you can say something with a button, you know, how she would empower her symbol was the elephant. And though she was not like Delta, I found out she resonated with that. And she didn't go as deep as me with it in terms of how I am as a priestess. But again, it's where you get your intro from.
Yes.
She read tea leaves. I got to see that. You know what I'm saying? She didn't give a name for it. You didn't ask questions like that of elders. Mm-hmm. You were just privileged to know, you know, that you were able. And if you shut up, they let you stay around and watch. So I got to see indigenous practice. I got her to see her weaving at the same time she was healing or sharing information, exchanging information with readings. So this was tea time that was / you know, making wear. And I just learned about the sacred art of weaving and how your influence, your consciousness, where you are, how you think, what your belief system is, you can take that, put it into a wear. And I would watch clients show up, you know, and feel empowered. She mostly did seamstress. So I have that as a tool. I'm grateful for that. She really wasn't on the creative aspect, was her personal wear. So people would giggle at her and laugh because she was very passionate about her indigenous fabrics. And people didn't know that because the way was a particular print of her day was something different. And so she was the reason why, my granny was the reason why I was able to embrace my indigenous differentness in a day like today, where I can know that, okay, this fabric, even if it doesn't feel like the norm in a space that I show up in, I feel empowered with my wear because I know my granny gave me that. Again, she said, "Please, Blackfoot." And that's all she could give me and give me my family line. The work from there was for me to do, okay? So I had to go back and look at, a lot of it was done through genealogy, you know, very little help. Most of it was done intuitively just by looking at the fabrics that she used, her fabrication choice, and researching why I had an attraction to those. And so there I tapped into my remembrance, as I talked about. That's how you tap into your DNA, just by asking the question. If you're passionate about wanting to know something, you're the computer. The DNA is active within you. So even after she was gone or she transitioned, even the information that I wanted to know, she left me clues within her where. And she also, I had the ability to just ask myself and say, where are these fabrics? Or how can I attract these fabrics to me? And here it is. I have that platform. Mm. I have a way today, the marketplaces that I share on. Now I can get fabric from Peru. I can get real indigenous fabric from these lands that before I just flipped through, you know, magazines and just, I'm so excited because these come authenticated as fair trade, Shante. These are authenticated with quality. You know, I can say that this is this type of quality of fabric and this is what you're going to get, this type of result, and I can authenticate it. So it's just so beautiful to be in a place where you can take a craft starting from really no point of origin, because they kind of like considered us kind of bastards over here in America as indigenous, because many of us have lineages that do come from West Africa and East Africa, some South Africa. But there's a dominant something about the unspoken love of certain fabrics that tell the story of indigenous people that we don't know about. And this love of this cotton t-shirt and the blue jeans tells that story. And these are the She people. That's an indigenous group of a clan that spread out to be under all types of names of now, of all indigenous clan. But the mother of all those mother is She. The Omic is another name that they use, but it's called She, X-I or X-I-A. And you'll find them contributing to fabric, even rubber, even what we get today as stretch fabric, which everybody loves, is natural base aspect comes from these so-called rubber people. But be for sure, they're more than just rubber people. They have a vast information there. In that first podcast, I talked about them being the galactic people who brought us the Zulking, who brought us the information about us being star beings and how to activate these bodies and bring to life these gods in which they are said to return, these spoken gods that are said to come in this time. So Shantae, what we were talking about is active wear, galactic wear, archetype wear, divine goddess god wear that has now been unveiled to support you in its indigenous way through the fabrics that are going to help you, cotton, denim, wool, silk, hemp, linen, that you're going to be able to say, oh, I have a one-of-a-kind item that was made with me in mind. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I feel proud about. I feel like I'm supporting my environment. I'm living my truth, the plants and that I wear on my body, I'm sustaining their truth by living my truth and supporting people and living their truth. When they have this wear on, once again, you sweat, it says, so what? It dries it up for you. It doesn't allow you to lie and have things that you are lying about yourself. It says, you know, you can still be beautiful. Roll on me. That's what the cotton god says. It says, go out and play, wash and hang me up, and I will never lose my color. You know, so these are entities in my world. These are deities. These are beings that were here before me. So I have to respect and give reverence to them. Okay. Yes. They're healers in a way in my small humanity that I will never know how to do. And so it's a reverence, a relationship that I have with this kingdom, the plant, vegetable, as well as the mineral kingdom, the stones and the sacred stones that I adorn these sacred wear, divine wear with for people. You will see that this is the way to go. You know, why would you want to put anything else on your body? You are a one-of-a-kind being. There's nobody on this planet like you. Even you twins and triplets and quadruplets out there, no one exists like you. You are, and for a source to be able to do that, to give you a one-of-a-kind blueprint signature, I said, wow, let me see if I can just, you know, be a reflection of that and bring that indigenous wear back that says, when you put that cotton on your body, as you told me about your son, that he knows the difference. When he puts that against his skin, he requires or he desires only a certain type of something on his face. And so we all do. We just don't know that. We've been lying to ourselves. We're just like that baby when we're first born. We like that cotton on our skin, that soft hemp and those natural fibers. And when we got bigger and we had to put on these coarse stuff on our bodies, our personalities changed too. Because that's a different energy when you feel scratchy and a tag is in your, you know, you got underwear that's tight. And oh my God, you know, not to talk about the statistics and the information about that area, those sacred, the womb and the breast being blocked, and how they are connected with these diseases and disorders, and you know, and it's crazy.
Yes.
You still hold on to that push-up wire that's synthetic. I'm like, why not pay the extra money and get the 100% cotton?
Yes.
You know, go ahead. That's your areola, for God's sakes. That's where you bring life into the world. That's just your womb, God. I mean, that's just your solar plexus. Does it mean anything to you? So it's about that. It's about sharing and saying, when I meet people, it's about that embrace and hugging them, because I know they've forgotten that they're divine. Yeah. So it's my job, and on this Muluk day, Shantae, that Muluk is the Zulkin archetype symbol that talks about being receptive. You are worthy just because you were born. Your one of a kind blueprint DNA says that there's nobody like you. And so indigenous wear that I create and design from that ancient way that also said you're one of a kind. And that's mm-hmm. what this wear says. It says there's nobody like you. Even if I do another piece, it still will never be like the piece that I did before. And so whoever is attracted to that piece knows that somebody reminded them that you're an original. There's nobody like you. And so why not find out what that means? Why not activate that and enhance that and find out really what that means to be a one of a kind being?
And again, that just reminds me of truth.
Yes.
When personally, when I put on something that you've created for me, it is truth.
Okay. Thank you.
It is truth.
I'll praise you.
And
hi, thank you.
You're welcome. And when my children put on anything that you have created, it is truth. And at their ages, to grow up in that space of truth, it just continues to reinforce why they're here. So wearing these natural fabrics, wearing this divine wear, it is supporting in the awakening of your truth. And you're constantly being reminded all day long of who you are and why you're here.
Yes.
And that makes you feel good, which means you're going to treat other people good. You're going to treat yourself well.
Yes.
And you're going to treat other people well. And then the community benefits, and then the clan benefits, and then the nation benefits.
I really want to stress that in talking about fair trade, it's all about intention. So if you got intentional wear, where you have someone transparent and telling their truth as an artisan and giving you the details of where this come from, it's going to support you in your truth, as opposed to you don't know where something's coming from. You don't know what type of conditions this person was under when they were created, let alone their intention or someone else's intention when they created it for you. So these things are important far more than anything in this time when we got downpours, we're going through major galactic transformation, and you want to have at best something that supports your body, even if you're unaware of what is happening. You don't even really have to know. The body, the spirit soul body is going to take care of that for you, but you do have to take your measure. You have to do your seed work and do your 1% and take value and love yourself enough to give yourself the highest quality.
Yes.
And by the way, I've done that magically by also making it affordable. So when I say eco fashion, I'm also talking about economically accessible for everyone, because this is real for me. My youngest one has eczema. She came here, and I always say, your shadow is where you go and do your work. So I have my child to come to me because it's a reminder, like, oh, no, you're not. You thought you were going to go a cheap way? And look at, she was the one to draw me in to make sure that I make a focus on the quality of that it had to be natural, because she cannot wear anything else on her skin. Isis mm-hmm. are set. My daughter, she cannot wear anything. And so in knowing that energy that I named her in, spirit giving me that name for her, Isis Arset. That's the name of goddess Isis.
Mm-hmm.
Name, that's her residence. So of course her body would not be supported in anything but where this fabric, where these plants came from, flax, hemp, denim, and silk, and that's what supports her body. So what does she do? She allows me, or she supports me in focusing and being a mother and making sure that I make her the highest quality. And so now I get to be that mother, if you will, of the world, and to help them, to remind them that you are sacred. You are so divine. This being, this Christ that they're talking about, it's you, child. Wake up. You are the one, as the Hopi say, that you've been waiting for. The Christ that's to return, the Buddha that's to return, is within you. Let thine eye be single, and thy whole body will be full of light. So appeal to that light in you. Appeal to the inner kingdom and draw on your soul, and then externally support it with the divine tools to do what you came to do on the planet. That's what it's about.
That is a perfect place to end. But before we completely close out, tell us how we can see and be connected with you and explore what you have to offer.
Okay, well, great. this is all coming into a fold right in this new moon, full moon energy, Shante. So I'm just so happy to say that I have a line, and I'm gonna explore this and expand probably on another podcast, but for now, I have two ways. It's the house of fashion now, Shante. This is where I'm at. It's the house of fashion, and it's the house of Aset Nephet Heru. So we have here an indigenous house that has two lines. I have Davida Designs, which is my private label, DavidaDesigns.com. That's on my private site where you can come and see what's going to be probably a couture feeling that you will have, a fashion house experience, a couture experience, if you will, where I get to do design requests from my collection. Okay. And then I have Amazon.com, Handmade Davida Designs, which I have recently been invited in, an invite-only handmade community for artisans like myself, where I'll be selling my porte-a-porter, that's French for ready-to-wear line. So,
I'm so excited.
I've just come into this handmade community. So stay attuned to that while I share. So let me give you that again. That's Davida Designs. I'm going to spell that. That's D-E-V as in victory, I-T-A. Designs, DESIGNS.com. Davida Designs is my private label, my line that you can get your one-on-one attention from me. And then Amazon.com/handmade/Davida Designs is where my ready-to-wear line, porte-a-porter, you will still see the naturalness, the eco, all of what you see on my private line is now available, ready to wear, and it will give you, go ahead and experience that, because that's an experience too. It's still handmade and unique, but I've made it to where you can get it ready to wear and available to you immediately. So when you go to this platform, you shop there, you're buying it, and it's ready and shipped to you within 2 to 3 business days. So that is that's Amazon.com/handmade/Davida Designs for my ready to wear, and DavidaDesigns.com for my private. If you're interested in any design requests coming from my private collection, you will want to go there. So again, thank you, Shante, for this opportunity, for this platform.
You're so welcome. I'm so excited for the expansion. I'm so excited to witness just the growth that has occurred just in the last 60 days. It's just been phenomenal. And I'm just, of course, I'm going to support you and continue talking to the community about folk healing and its many different dimensions and forms. Yes. And so, thank you for joining me for Soul Time. And thank you for those who are listening today. All the information that Davida shared will be written up, so you will not have to remember it. I'll put a hyperlink in the information for this particular podcast, so you'll be able to access it.
Yes.
Oh, thank you so much for just being our expert and my sister and Soul Care You. And I look forward to when we are able to talk again.
Yes. Could I just remind people, or
just
to give a note, a nod for people to look on the horizon for Soul Care, of a joint collaboration between Davida Designs and Soul Care. We're going to be bringing you some very interesting lightwear that is infused by both of us. So that's on the horizon with this upcoming winter solstice. So please look out for our Soul Care and Davida Designs collabo. Thank you, Shante.
Thank you. I'm so glad you mentioned that. I forgot all about it.
Yeah.
And it's always because when it's ready to show up, that's going to be really fun. So definitely be looking out for that amazing collaboration. That's right on the edge of birthing. So, thank you. And thank you everyone again for joining us. And I will talk to you soon.
In Lakesh, Alakin. Thank you.
Thank you.